Welcome back to the Godly Young Men Podcast, episode 164. Today we are talking about one of our favorite subjects, to be honest with you. We rail against this quite a bit, and I'd say we've had some episodes that might align with this. As a matter of fact, two episodes ago when we talked about setting ourselves up, there's some weaving in some of these points.
Some common threads
throughout a lot of our episodes, but we wanted to sit down. Will has put together a fantastic outline on this particular struggle, developing mature men. We've talked about delayed adolescence. We talked about it on our Think Deeper podcast as well, but the delayed adolescence and things like that. And, you know, there's a trope of women being more mature than men. Yes, they do hit puberty faster. Yes, they do mature a little bit faster at a younger age.
But their brains, like, stop developing sooner. Like, I think men take until, like, 25 or something.
And I think that's correct. Younger, yeah. And they come into it a little bit sooner. And so, yes, they are more mature at one age. The problem is that's not intended to be for life, you know, where a woman is always going to be more mature. And you see the tropes and you hear the you know, little quips and phrases of, well, I'm just raising, you know, oh, you got five kids, not just four, you know, where the woman, of course, is supposed to be mature. And unfortunately, there's a lot of guys that kind of give into that trope where they are immature.
They've earned it a little bit.
And they've earned it. And so that's what this episode's a little bit about.
One of my most frustrating, I call it pet peeves, I suppose, is coming across a guy, a young man, who is just immature. It's one of those things that it doesn't, I like to think I'm pretty easygoing. Immature people get on my nerves. Like they just irritate me. And Joe, honestly, the really thought behind this episode, the motivation for this was I got to thinking, if a young man is immature at age 27, at age 18 or 19, who is to blame for that? In a lot of ways, it is the young man. But it's also the dads.
It's the dads, yeah.
It's the dads. If you've got a 19-year-old guy who's just immature, that is, to me, is a direct result of a dad's lack of raising, lack of developing maturity. And so what we really want to talk about with this episode, the kind of the lens through which we want to see this, is how to develop your son, how to develop his maturity. So this is not really going to be about developing your own maturity. It's going to be about when you have a son one day, or maybe you're watching and you already have a son, maybe you're an older listener and you've got a son. How do you develop his maturity? How do you get him to the point where at 18, he's not going to be one of those guys people look at and go, what on earth is wrong with this dude? Right. He doesn't have any maturity to him whatsoever. We want mature guys. So I was looking up some stuff. There's actually a term for this, guys that kind of never grow up. Peter Pan syndrome, actually, is an actual thing. I copied this down. A pop psychology term for adults who exhibit immature behavior, avoiding responsibility, commitment, and adult roles. It was coined by Dr. Dan Kiley in 1983. Describes a failure to launch mentality, often characterized by financial dependence, job instability, and emotional detachment. Immature guys, right? And I'm a big believer that's a direct result of a dad not doing his job. So we want to talk about, how do you develop your son's maturity?
Right, because if it's not, yes, again, as godly young men, we want to take personal responsibility. We want to make sure that we are developing our own maturity as much as we possibly can. If your dad has not helped you develop that, don't make the same mistake. Think about this. Bookmark this episode for 20 years later, whatever
it may
be.
That's right.
Right? But either way, and even, we have dads that listen to us. And so here's something that, again, I think one of the biggest struggles in our culture is a failure to launch, is a bunch of guys that don't know what it means to be a man.
They're just aimless. I mean, and we literally talked about that in episode one of our podcast, Strive for Greatness.
Strive for Greatness.
People are aimless. They don't know what they want to be.
And that's the reason for Strive for Greatness. That's why, you know, on your hoodie and whatnot, like, that is a key. It's actually, we thought it was going to be trademarked. It was a LeBron trademark, I think, for a time. Strive for Greatness. It's a little background tidbit there. It perfectly encapsulated what we were going for because of this reason. And so, yes, we're 164 episodes in. As I said, we've weaved a few of these concepts through. But when it comes to it, this Peter Pan syndrome is a real problem with young men, so much so that, like, in Japan, they have guys, I think they have 3 million of them. There's a specific term for them that, I think it's hikikomori, if I remember right, and there's a specific term for guys that basically have never launched. They don't leave their families or their parents' house. They're playing video games all the time. And so there are hallmarks that I think we can look for as we think about, how do we know? How do I know if I've launched, or how do I know if what I'm looking for in my son launching? Or as you look at culture at large, like, have these guys launched? And I'll jump into the first one.
The first one I think is the biggest indicator. Personally.
And that is a dopamine hit lifestyle. You're just looking for the next dopamine hit. This is a lot of vices. This is video games. This is eating out. This is constant fun. They're always wanting to be with their buddies. They're staying up late all the time. And there's very little routine. And it's just very little discipline. It's dopamine after dopamine after dopamine.
Yeah, I mean, you see guys, again, they live for the video game. And some of these things, like, is there anything wrong with video games? No. if that's all you're living for, yeah. Again, right. Just the dopamine hit lifestyle of next hangout time, next party, next fun thing, next trip or whatever it is. And it's like, okay, you haven't grown up. You're immature. Another hallmark would be you don't really have any meaningful relationships, female or otherwise. Like, sure, you might have a guy buddy, you know, or guy friends that you play video games with. How meaningful of a relationship is that? Again, with females, typically, maybe you're Snapchatting girls, or maybe you're talking to a bunch of girls, but you don't certainly don't have a girlfriend, certainly don't have anything serious. No meaningful relationships would be another hallmark of this. And kind of tied to this is hookup culture, specifically for worldly guys. But they just no really desire to settle down with anybody. They just want to kind of hook up with whoever. The peak of immaturity at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple others you might consider be like a menial job or a guy that bounces from job to job. He's always from Starbucks to maybe Chick-fil-A to McDonald's to, you know, whatever it is. And it's kind of like he's piecemealing. He's going along and he's making enough to survive. Maybe he's being subsidized.
But can't really hold it down, or just, you know, doesn't really put any investment into the job or anything like that.
Right. He's also interested. This would go along with another one. We don't have this on the list, but I think it fits in with this next one. Instead of relationships, he seeks out things, toys, things like that. So instead of having meaningful relationships like a family, he's building towards something. He's really, you know, working on that. Instead, he finds his worth or value in his – we make fun of the Funko Pop, but truly there's like a Funko Pop collection, or in his video game collection, or in, you know, these Star Wars figurines or whatever it may be. Like, or they're just obsessed for the next Marvel movie that's coming out. Or can you believe, you know, I was reading this comic book. And you see that, and, you know, we can make fun of it, but it's kind of a sad thing because it goes to show they're longing for a childhood that they just never figured out how to get out of. And there's nothing wrong to have a little fun, to have hobbies, things like that. But to your point, it's more of like it's the dopamine, it's the lack of relationships within that. It is the putting that on a pedestal more than actually living real life, and that your job and all your extra income is going toward buying comic books or something. That's not appropriate. That's not good.
The last one got on here is you have an obsession with like fantasy, sci-fi, you know, the Marvel obsession or Star Wars. And then, you know, I enjoy Marvel movies. I enjoy Star Wars movies.
Likewise.
Not obsessed with them, right? But you see some of those guys that like that's what they're into, but they're not just into it. They are obsessed with it. And so these are just some basic hallmarks. There's others of kind of how you can know somebody falls into this category. The results of this are what we want to talk about next. And then what we're going to do for the rest of the episode is, again, the goal being to kind of talk you through and discuss how do you as a father develop your son's maturity. We're going to talk about things you should mandate, things that you should say that you're just going to do things this way, things you should forbid, you're not going to do things this way. And then we think there's certain things that you can't really mandate, but you can certainly encourage. You can, you know, lean them in a certain direction. And then, of course, vice versa. You can't necessarily forbid them, but you can heavily discourage them. So that's going to be the bulk of the outline. But just briefly, Joe, what are some of the results of this just perpetually immature lifestyle, this Peter Pan syndrome? We kind of talked about some of it. I think chief among the results would be a poor quality of life.
Yeah.
Not really making anything of yourself. Certainly not making a lot of money. Not being able to buy your own home. Not being able to really start a family. Not just, again, you're kind of aimless drifting. I'm reading a book right now about Ronald Reagan and the guy that attempted the assassination on him, John Hinckley Jr.
Oh, wow.
And he struggled with schizophrenia, but he very much was this type of guy. His parents coddled him, never pushed him to do anything. He just literally drifted, menial job this, menial job that. Literally the definition of what we're talking about. Had a horrible quality of life. And so I think that's a significant kind of chief among these as far as results of this immature lifestyle.
You see the mass shooters, not to, you know, say that everybody that is struggling with this is a mass shooter, but like, same thing, the aimlessness. You know, it creates an inner rage. And I think the rage is against themselves because they're not achieving potential. They're not hitting what they could hit. And so there's so much anger toward the world. It's externalized when in reality, it's an internal rage. I don't think they're happy with their life. They're not happy with the choices they made. But once you get into this habit of like, you make bad choices, you start to think of yourself as I'm somebody who makes bad choices. And then, in worst case, it becomes a victim. Everybody's out to get me. You know, the world hates me. I never get any steps up. Everybody else gets it handed to them. That's how you get the, you know, demonize the 1% is the victim mindset. Yeah. That comes from a poor quality of life. It comes from the results of somebody that didn't grow up to say, I'm taking accountability and responsibility for myself, which we'll get to. But other results would be just being... You see guys that are very unhealthy, very overweight, very, you know, just sallow skin. Like, they're not taking care of themselves. Most of the time, again, it's because they feel like they don't matter. If you don't do things of consequence, it's really difficult to feel like you're a consequential person.
Yeah.
Consequential people take care of themselves. The guy that goes to the barber all the time, the guy that is hitting the gym, that you know, has a clean shave, whatever it is, it's not my problem. Don't necessarily need that. You know, but the guy that has that, like, he realizes he's of consequence. Hmm. When you're unhealthy, you're overweight, you're looking at yourself as kind of like a kid. Like, it is a dopamine lifestyle. You're just getting that, and you're not thinking about the next step or how that might impact other people, because you don't feel like you can impact other people. The other one on here, and I'll let you go off on this, is just money mismanagement, where you're perpetually broke, or, you know, you're always making really bad financial decisions.
Yeah, again, just your credit card or your debit card or credit card statement looks like Taco Bell, McDonald's, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A. Like, just spending money out to, again, you, like you said, you can't, don't have $1,000 to your name, just poorly, maybe you do go into debt, like very badly mismanage your money. Avoiding responsibility is another result. Just somebody who literally never takes accountability for anything, blames other people, and not just accountability, but also respond, like, I don't want to do anything hard.
Yeah.
Just give me the easy job. Just give me the, you know, whatever is just going to cause me the least amount of discomfort. That's what I want to do. Typically, a result of this is a guy who's very bad at conflict. Stays away, you know, from any, you know, yep. And bad at conflict, not just in avoiding conflict, but like yells or gets violent or just doesn't know how to appropriately handle a conflict with somebody. Just, I mean, the list goes on. Joe, if you want to hit the last two, I guess the point we're trying to get at is there's a lot of bad results that come from this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Self-centeredness would be another one. Just very selfish thing about themselves. The most tragic is walking away from the faith. Yep. They finally just give up on it. And a lot of times a hallmark of this, and as we're looking at some of the results, the hallmark would be somebody who never really has his parents' faith. Or never really has his own faith. He always has his parents' faith, rather. That is the result, is they walk away from their faith because they're not ultimately grounded. They don't have that sense of like, this is mine. It's my responsibility. I've got to do it, because there's a self-centeredness. Yes, they are avoiding difficult things. And at some point in Christianity, when it becomes your faith, your responsibility, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult. You have to come face to face with yourself and with your sin and everything else and recognize, man, I need the Spirit's help and I got to get out of this. And to come back around to it, well, you hit on it earlier. Like, if you're 24, 25, 26 years old, aimless and dealing with all of these results and the hallmarks of it,
the dad's
to blame. You got to blame the dad, because the failure to launch is like, that is the purpose of us as parents. We talked about the discipline episode a couple episodes back. The goal of a parent is to help launch their kid. So those that, you know, they love the baby phase or whatever it may be, like, that's great, but are you thinking about launching them as an 18-year-old, 19, 20-year-old? And because of these failures of launch, it's like, yeah, they were cute when they were kids, but you have a duty as a parent to raise them up unto the Lord. And that doesn't just mean, okay, we kept them faithful. It's like, are they successful? Are they, you know, are they
productive human beings?
Yeah, productive human beings, and a positive to society around them and to their families and such. That's on the dad.
So let's get practical here.
Sure.
What should we mandate as dads, again? And I should have said at the start, Joe's oldest is 7, my oldest is 4. Right. We're not experts. We have not had kids reach teenage years yet, but this is one of those things we do feel like we can speak to, if not from experience with ourselves growing up, but more so just what we've seen in others. What should you mandate? First thing I'd think, again, I'm going to start, I kind of structured this list in like a manner of as the kid grows. So this first one is going to, you know, you can start this at age 4, age 5 years old. Mandate that they clean up after themselves. It might be a weird one. It's like, why? Because it teaches them responsibility.
Correct.
Like, you don't get to just make a mess and have your mom clean up after you. You don't get to just leave your room a disaster. Again, I'm talking 4 and 5 year olds here. Clean up after yourself. You as a dad can absolutely mandate that, to say, my kid is not going to be someone who just leaves a mess and lets others come behind me to clean up after him and the mess he made. That's a mark of immaturity. But that's a pretty easy fix, is you just mandate you're going to clean up after yourself.
Literally just this morning.
No way.
My son comes in and he makes a mess. He crumples up his breakfast and it's on there and he's taking little bites. And I'm like, it's fine that you did that. You got to clean up after yourself. That's brother's job. No. You made the mess. You're going to clean it up. And so I showed him what to do. Brought the trash can out. I said, you sweep it right in there. It doesn't take much. This is brother's job. And so we had a real sit down talk, heart to heart talk of like, you take responsibility. You made the mess. I said, when our room is a mess, do I make you come and clean it? No. I said, why? Because it's your room. Bingo.
There you go.
It's my mess.
You got it.
Start at a young age. He's 5. You know, you got to start that at that age to say, yes, clean up yourself, because you're exactly right. At some point, you have to hit responsibility. With so much of this, as we're talking about kids that are immature, it's a lack of responsibility and accountability.
Yeah.
You have to take responsibility for your life, because, man, that's scary. It's like going out and driving. And when you teach your kid how to drive, like, you're not just responsible for yourself. Everybody around you is affected by your own stupidity if you're going to drive like an idiot.
So true.
So take accountability for, you know, where you stand in life. Take responsibility. The other thing we have, the second thing on here for the what you might mandate, satisfactory grades in school. This is a character issue.
Mandate that. Don't make it optional.
Correct. Well, okay, you know, what is it?
C's get degrees.
C's get degrees. I was going to say, is it D's get degrees or C's get degrees? Well, I wouldn't know because we were not allowed that.
Right.
If I ever got a C in my life, my mom would, you know, jump me like crazy. So satisfactory grades in school were mandated for both of us. Like, it just wasn't an option of, well, you know, you tried your best.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is you tried your best.
No, you didn't. You didn't. Because, look, you got to know your kid. But we're dealing with most, you know, I'm sure your kids are intelligent. I like to think my kids are intelligent. I know your kids are intelligent. And so, yeah, you got to mandate something like this because, once again, it's a character issue. Are you using what God gave you to the best of your ability?
And you have to pay attention. You got to know what their grades are. Obviously, we'd advocate homeschooling. You got to know how are they doing in school and mandate those grades. Next thing you can mandate their personal spiritual disciplines. Again, obviously, we're starting to get older in years. You're not going to, you know, 4-year-old, sure, like, you know, do your memory verses and such. Sure. But
family worship,
12, 13-year-old, right? Mandate what are your spiritual disciplines. How much are they reading their Bible? You can still mandate that at 13. And there's an argument to be made, well, it should be their own personal spiritual walk. Listen, you're in my house. I'm trying to raise you to be a faithful Christian man. I don't necessarily like to use this word. My wife is going to be doing her own personal spiritual disciplines as well. I'm going to expect you to as well. How much are you praying? What are you reading? Let's read this together. Like, you need to not just, even beyond just being involved in it, I do think you have a right to mandate that. I'm curious your thoughts on that. It sounds a little bit dictatorial, being a dictator, but I very much think that's something you can mandate once the kid hits, honestly, 8, 9, 10 years old.
We talk about setting the culture in the home. This is a big part of it. That's
like,
what
you
we
will
do
this, essentially.
Right, that's what we do around here. So we will. You know, we're going to do that. But the reality is you have to have that for yourself before you can mandate
Correct.
It.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to mandate something that you don't know how to do or that you've never done yourself, hypocrisy comes through. So if your son sees that that's what you do, Lord willing, you've produced a son that is really wanting to be like dad.
Yeah.
You know, he looks at Superman and, you know, you're showing him the way. Hey, this is what I do. This is how we study the Bible. This is what we do. I have no problem mandating it because I think that is you have to look ahead and go, okay, what is going to create a healthy life and what's going to help him lead his own family? This.
Yep.
And if you don't mandate, a lot of kids are like, make sure to get to that type of thing. And then you check in 3 months later and it's like, oh yeah, I haven't been doing that. Like, you got to be on that and say, this is what we expect of you, and this is what we do around here.
Same
culture.
Thing with the next one. It might be kind of a weird thing to say that you mandate, but Joe, you can get us in the number
four.
It's
healthy lifestyle. Eating well, exercising, you know. I plan on taking my kids to the gym when they get older. I will absolutely get them fast, and you got to do that smartly. I'm not looking to have my 10-year-old get ripped, you know. but we do want him having that healthy lifestyle. I mean, I think you're exactly right. It's the exact same thing.
My kid, I told a story a couple weeks ago that since one of my goals is to do an exercise of at least 30 minutes every single day, the days I don't go to the gym, I will jump rope at home or I'll do some kind of like YouTube full body workout or whatever. Well, Jackson, my 4-year-old, and Brooklyn, my 2-year-old, have started to ask if they can do like kids' workout videos. There's like kids' workout videos on YouTube. Jackson is all about it, loves to do them. Brooklyn will be interested for about 2 minutes or so and then not really care. Well, they also really like to drink a protein shake, like a little bit of my protein shake that I make after I do my workout. And I've told them, because that's what they love, great, you don't get that unless you do the workout. Mainly for Brooklyn, because she will like just kind of watch her brother and not really do it. I'm like, okay, then you don't get the protein shake here. Point is, that's a silly example. They're 2 and they're 4. As they get older, you absolutely can mandate in your home a healthy lifestyle. We will be doing this as a family. We will be eating this as a family. Again, you don't want to be a dictator and say you can absolutely never have Chick-fil-A or you can never eat a donut. Like, then you're getting a little – but my point is, they're 14 years old. Like, yeah, you can mandate – you know, here's what we're going to do as a family, kind of expectations. This is the whole culture setting point that Joe just brought up. You as the dad, that is a privilege. It is a responsibility, but it's also a privilege of being a father. You get to set the culture.
Absolutely.
You get to set the expectations and, you know, I don't like the term rules, but like the expectations of the family. And I think eating well and exercising is perfectly within bounds for men to set that expectation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other one we've got two more, reading self-betterment books. Yes, your dad did the same. You know,
he gave me a list. You will read these before you graduate high school.
Yep, and I mean, I think that's a great thing because Kids don't know what to read. I mean, I read Harry Potter like 12 times, you know, the entire series.
He clearly had a lot of time to read.
Yeah, exactly. I loved reading those books. But I actually ended up reading a ton more, but it wasn't self-betterment. I got into that probably 18, 19 years old. The amount of growth that you get from self-betterment books is insane. And so, yeah, you got to apply certain things. It's also easy to read a lot of books and not actually apply any of those things. Sure, so make sure you're taking notes and underlining things and really working on it. This, to me, is a prerequisite, and it's something I will definitely be telling my boys of, like, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Classic. You know, you need to be reading that one. There's a lot of classics, actually, I think I'd have the kids read. But even, like, Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. There are things that are, like, take care of yourself, you know, and think about engaging the mind. Because, once again, you're trying to create a man who will grow up and take care of himself. And then be capable of taking care of a wife and taking care of kids. That is not an insignificant thing, to be able to take care of other people. And so we start with... Are you even taking care of your mental, mental part?
Yeah. The last one we got on here from mandates, things you should mandate. This is a personal thing for me. I will be mandating that my kids get a job in high school.
This is interesting.
This doesn't have to be a 30-hour a week job. This does not have to be, you're basically, again, almost working full time. But I do not want my kids to graduate high school never knowing what it's like to work for a paycheck, work for somebody else, and make their own way, pay for their own stuff. And so, in fact, this is a small regret that I have, is that my first, outside, I worked for my dad when I was, 16, which counts. I was making a paycheck, and I was paying for my own gas and stuff, which is really all I meant with this. You can work, whether it's working for me or whether it's working with a guy from church who has a lawn mowing business, some kind of job. It doesn't have to be, but, my first job outside of that, I was basically out of high school. And so, started making money and saving, but I was like, I don't know why I didn't start this when I was 16. I think it's great for a 15 or 16-year-old to get a job at that age. Again, it just teaches them what it's like to work hard, what it's like to work with other people, what it's like to, again, oh, man, I want to go hang out with my friends at the movie. Dad, mom and dad ain't paying for it. How can I make money for that, right? Again, specifically for men, specifically for young men, I think it's just a very healthy thing. I don't know if you agree, but that's one that I certainly plan to mandate. I don't want my kid hitting 18 and, never knowing what working for a paycheck is, essentially. Sure. So that's kind of a passion one for me.
Yeah, my mom and I actually talked about this because she's like, yeah, I don't think, we didn't get a job in high school. But again, I mean, I was graduating at 16, so it was a little bit early and a little bit different. And then hit Bear Valley, and Bear Valley, you don't have time for that. And so it's difficult because if you get a kid, a 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid in the wrong environment, especially if they're not prepared, that can be a really dangerous thing. So I get her point to say, man, so it can be very
serious. She's opposed based on influence, basically?
Correct. Influence, sure. And it can take away from academics. She's really big into academics, don't blow your, academia type of thing. Going back to our other point of satisfactory grades, I think you can do both. I'm with you. I think you can do both. I think it can be... So, I didn't work for paycheck. I did mow lawns, and so really tried to do the entrepreneurial thing and going and passing out flyers at people's doors and shaking hands and, learning to load up the trailer and drive to different places, and I was probably 16, 17 at that time. So
Even if it's 15 hours a week working, again, with, an elder at your church that has a lawn mowing business or something.
I think the idea of what you're talking about of having a paycheck, knowing what that looks like to actually make your own money, and I'll tell you, the first time taxes got taken out, it was like, what?
Right. oh, that's a W-2.
Excuse me? Yeah. And boy, that'll turn you into a Republican real fast. I'll tell you what. When you were actually having to pay, especially self-employment tax, I'm self-employed now. My goodness. That's really good at a young age, I think, to have to engage on that front. So those are mandating. Cleaning up after yourself, satisfactory grades in school, personal spiritual disciplines, healthy lifestyle, eating well, exercising, reading self-betterment books, and getting a job in high school. I think it's a great list of just some ways where you might start on the mandating things. And once again, it's about the culture.
Guys that aren't mature at 21 years old, a lot of this stuff is not in place.
Right.
So that's kind of the design of this.
Right.
Joe, let's talk about the things you'd forbid. Sure. I had way less there. Of course, that was 6 on the first one. I only had 3 here of absolutely forbid. The first one I have on here is just you need to make sure you forbid unlimited screen time. TV, phone, you see these, again, you see these young adults that just are glued to their phone, glued to their devices. A lot of that stems from kind of unbridled access to endless video games, endless phone use, etc. And so you as the dad, I think, do have the right to forbid, no, it's not unlimited. Sure, you can have a phone at whatever age, 16, 17, whatever you decide on. It will be limited. If you're a video game family, that will be limited. If you're a movie, TV, whatever, that will be limited. It just can't be unlimited because we got so many young kids that are just, addicted. Screenagers, of course, is what they're called, addicted to those devices.
it's so bad for you. There's so many studies that are like, man, this is destroying attachment. This is destroying development. This is destroying brainwaves. This is destroying basically everything. Don't do it. If you can avoid the screens as much as possible, especially any screen in their face,
yeah,
iPads, computers, you know, phones, things like that, like,
yeah,
that's really bad. Even TV, though, man, I would very much pump the brakes on those things. But unlimited screen time, there's no possibility. You go, well, you know what? My kid just wants to stay up to date. You know, he's got a lot of friends, whatever it is. Like, you got to start
all right.
This. Correct. And you got to start this at a young age to be like, these are my rules. You know what I mean? And if your kid is understanding the rules and he knows, hey, I love you, but no, you're not boss around here. Again, my oldest is 7. I have not dealt with teenagers. I've dealt with plenty of them in therapy and worked on family therapy and things like that. Talked with parents. So it's not like I know nothing about it. On the other hand, and sure, I read a ton of books on this too, but on the other hand, yeah, I don't look forward to those days where they're going to be pushing more and more. You have to do that. The other thing, I think the second goes right along with it, which is any access.
Real fast, I have a quick story. It's okay. Just kind of funny. On the whole, like, get your kids to know your rules and they kind of get them to know early. So my wife is, and I support her in this, very adamantly opposed to any kind of food dyes. You know, Red 40 and all those things. Kind of in the zeitgeist now more with RFK and all those things. Yeah. But very much opposed to keep those out of our house. She'll often have to tell Jackson, you know, why, you know, can I have this? No. And he'll say, you know, why not? And she'll say, because it has food dyes in it. Those are bad for you. It's to the point now where he'll have something that somebody gives him, like, again, somebody church something, and he'll bring it to my wife and say, am I able to have this? It doesn't have any food dyes. Like, before she even asks, he already knows, like, it doesn't have any food dyes. Can I have this? And so, again, silly example, but with the screen thing, if your kid at 7 years old knows, I'm not supposed to be playing on an iPad. When their friend gives them an iPad, that conscience is going to kick in a little faster to say, I'm really not supposed to be doing this, versus, you know, kind of being sporadic with it. It's a lot harder.
Which means you got to be intentional at a young age. You got to be very on this, having these conversations with your kids at 3, 4, 5 years old. And once again, I used the phrase this morning. That's not what we do around here. When I was talking with my son, with Lachlan, the second, about clean up after yourself, that's not what we do around here. Like, what we do around here is clean up after ourselves, because it's a big part of the family and chores and things like that. So,
sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're all
forbid.
Good.
Forbid, what's the
on
next thing?
The second thing on forbid is any access devices. And it goes along with, not devices, that's the last one, to vices in general. Yep. Which is, I mean, there's a ton of them, especially for young kids. It's going to be bad friends with vaping. It's going to be porn. It's going to be, I think too many video games, junk food. All of those can be vices where it's just going to be a way to fill in all of the gaps of their life of, like, if things aren't going well, zero emotional regulation skills, they might find themselves running to some really bad things for them. So forbid the access to those. Make sure you know who their friends are. Make sure they're not bringing vapes home. Make sure
even worse, porn and alcohol. Like, obviously, you'd probably never allow that in your home. Any access to it, which means their friend group. Do they have access to it through their friend group?
Right, because as you talked about, what you want is to create a thing that, like, if Harrison is shown that, I'd love for him to first come talk to me.
Yeah.
So we have those conversations of what he's allowed and not allowed to, and, you know, that's a conversation. It's probably the next step is at 7. It's a tough thing. You got to forbid any access to those things and make sure it's not like, no, you can't. It's like, here's why. Explain the why to him. And I think that goes so much better, especially with teenagers.
Yeah. The third thing on here for absolutely forbid is casual dating. You gotta put the nix on that pretty quick. Yeah. You cannot, no casual dating. There's different rules families have for, like, how old can you be when you date. We've had episodes on that. Probably need to do another one here soon. I feel like it's been a while. But you know, whether or not you let your kids date at all is a different story, but certainly you should not let them casually date. And by that, I mean, oh, you know, we're just going to go out for ice cream and movies. I don't really know, like, you're 16 years old or whatever it is. Like, it needs to be marriage focused, or at least with that in mind, as opposed to just, you know, dating somebody, breaking up in a month, and then dating somebody else, breaking up in three months. Like, casual dating breeds immaturity, specifically with relationships, and it's a really hard pattern to break, as we've discussed before. If you've dated and broken up with 12 girls from age 16 to 21. Oh, now I found somebody I'm going to marry, but I've broken up with like 12 other people. You're used to that, right? You're used to the novelty and the variety. It's a really bad idea. So you got to forbid. I mean, you as a dad, once again, they're in your home. You get to mandate that, or you get to forbid that, I would say.
Yeah, great point. I don't have anything to add on that. Only other two I would add, and the first one, it goes with unlimited screen time. Forbid them staying inside all day. Yes, it's going to go along with screen time.
Oh, great one.
Them just being couch potatoes. Get outside, man.
Forbid laziness, basically.
Correct. Yeah. Forbid laziness. Like, get out, get in the sun, touch grass.
This is to my job point, too. Like, you got to get up and go do something.
You got to do something. So I think that's the other one. And the other one is just a weird one, but I was thinking, don't let them break commitments. when they make a commitment to a friend, Ooh, when they make a commitment to church,
yeah, can't
don't
do
let them be a flake. We've talked about not being a flake before and things like that. Will's got some really good stuff on that. But when you're talking about, like, how do you have a high-class individual, somebody who is mature, he sticks to his guns. You know, he says...
You keep your word.
Correct. Basically. He does what he says he's going to do. And, man, that's a high-value person. So make sure of that. Will, get us into the encouragement. We talked about mandating. We talked about forbidding. What should we encourage, though?
Yeah, so these are going to be probably post-18. Like, these are going to be things that you're not going to mandate. Maybe one, because they're, you know, too old for you to mandate something. Or you're just... You don't really have a right to mandate it. It's just going to be, hey, I'm going to encourage this. I'm going to lean you in this direction. The first thing is I would say encourage your son not to delay marriage. Once again, you can't really mandate you have to be married by 21, right? Like, you can't do that. But you can encourage them, hey, man, don't delay it. If you find the one, you know, don't rush it. But if you find the one at 21 years old, get married. I was 19. Worked out great. Yeah. Joe was 22. Worked out great. And so, again, not a mandate here, but I think – marrying and having kids, man, you mature a lot faster.
I was going to say,
you mature real quick when you get married. And so, again, that's not to say get married at 18 just so you can be super mature. But, you know, I'm going to wait till 20. I'm going to find myself, explore 27 years old getting married, as opposed to, you know, kind of stepping up and maturing at age 20. I mean, there's people my age that I was in the youth group with, not married, living a pretty immature lifestyle, right? And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. My point is, like, I got married 7 years ago in 2 days. That it'll mature you real fast. So encourage them not to delay marriage.
Absolutely.
Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I got a lot of thoughts, but we've talked about as we're looking at the time here. The only other thing I'll say on the delaying marriage, it changes the trajectory. When you're thinking about getting married at a young age, even if you're not doing it, when you're actively thinking about it.
It changes the lens through which you see
correct.
Things.
Correct.
Yeah.
You will make more, again, high value, more mature decisions just in preparation of it. Because you're looking at it going, I'm going to be like supporting somebody here very quickly rather than, oh, I got time. You know, I got time. You know, the I got time folks are the ones that, man, they mess away half their life type of thing, just waiting and then I'll get to it. Man, just don't do that. Number two on the encourage, again, you can't mandate this, but furthering their education. Yeah, I would encourage if you can, especially the one caveat I'd give to this is if your kid really wants to go into the trades, like don't force them to get a master's type of thing.
That's part of it, though, too, I would say, is trade school. Like, it's an education.
Absolutely. Like, get the education you need and very much encourage them to further their education as much as possible, especially if they have, like, a specialized field. Man, become a specialty or, you know, specialize in something and become an expert in whatever field. So, yes, I'd very much push furthering education.
Encourage, finally, third one is encourage financial literacy. Encourage, hey, make sure, and maybe I should have put, getting them financially literate in the mandate section, like make sure they know how to budget and all those things. Sure. But once they, you know, get to a certain age, man, encourage them, hey, stay out of debt. You know, don't necessarily just use credit cards to have fun on. Like, encourage the good financial decisions, I guess is a better way to put this. Of like, yeah, don't get in over your head in a lot of debt. Be smart with your money. Be intentional. Kind of tough to mandate when they're 19, 20 years old. But you can definitely encourage. Joe, what about discouraging? What are we going to discourage, lean our sons away from?
I'm going to discourage them from moving out the moment they turn 18. I'm going to discourage them. Yeah, I want them to be ready.
Because there's that myth that, like, man, 18, not my responsibility. Get out of here, basically.
That's American. Like, that is not biblical. That's not anything. And I think it's actually kind of stupid that when they are coming into and launching into their biggest brain jump from 18 to 21 – of really exploring their understanding of the world. Who am I in the world and what difference can I make in the world? And they're thinking on a global scale. And they're thinking about, they're questioning everything. They're questioning God, they're questioning family, they're questioning their future, their job and vocation and girls and everything else. Okay, I'm going to go give you to a godless professor, or I'm going to let you go out on your own and make your own decisions. And, you know, like, who died and let an 18-year-old lead everything? That's just stupid to me. It's really stupid. They're not ready for that. They're actively going through a changing process. No, if I can keep my kids home at 18, I fully plan to. That's what I did. You know, you do online school at 18. Again, it was not a lack of productivity. I was getting plenty done. It was doing it at home, staying grounded around my family, asking them those questions. Home congregation, still preaching whenever they let me at my home congregation. Like, it allowed me to mature and grow up in time rather than I have to do it immediately or it delays because I'm going to college and having cake stands type of thing. Like, no. I'm going to be a godly man. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to save money and I'm going to, you know, engage with my family and church family. Yeah, this is a big one for me. Big passion point for me.
Next thing we're going to discourage is living for entertainment. again, can't mandate that once they hit a certain age. But it's, you know, if you find out, hey, my son is coming home every single night and watching two episodes of Netflix or something, like, I'm going to discourage that. I'm going to discourage. I love entertainment.
Right. Entertainment's not bad.
It's not bad. I love sports. I like watching Netflix, music, whatever. I don't live for it.
Right.
And so if I, you know, again, when my son's older, whatever it is, if he's living for entertainment, that is going to be dangerous for raising a family, because then he's going to just be, all right, get me to the weekend so I can entertain myself. Well, you got a wife and kids. That's not really how that works anymore. And so, again, living for entertainment, that's a bit vague. It's a bit subjective, but I think we all know what that looks like. Again, just
absolutely
8 hours of video games, as we kind of already spoken to, or just constantly binging, or, you know,
you can't wait to get off of work so you can get home and, yeah,
right. That's, you know, just not helping. So I'm going to discourage that. Last one, man, think, or Golly Lemon podcast staple here. I'm going to discourage them from associating with losers.
Well put.
I don't know any other way to put it other than, again, hard to mandate or hard to forbid when they're, you know, growing up out, you know, you just talked about the house thing, but like age 21 years old or whatever, it's going to be difficult. Man, I'm going to heavily discourage if they've got a knucklehead friend you can just tell is on the lower, not even intelligence level, but just makes bad decisions, is immature, for instance.
Right, right, right.
I'm going to discourage them from associating with that person. This is a huge one.
This is a huge one. I mean, you can take the best kid, and if you put him around losers, they will bring him down.
Yep.
So as a parent, yeah, you got to know who your kid's friends are.
This is something you can mandate when they're like 13.
Oh, absolutely.
But once they get older,
then I would suggest doing that. And yeah, once again, not mandating from like, you're not allowed to see them, and then just end a discussion. Like, talk with them about it. Let them know. Like, hey, this is why. I don't like that this person does this, is this. I feel kind of bad, but I'm already doing this with Harrison to some degree. Like the kids, and this is why it works. I kind of feel bad about it, but the kids at Trail Life, there's a few, I'm just going to call them screwballs. Like they're messing around. They are just pains, and they're pains of the teacher, and they're always trying to get the laugh, probably, and they're disrespectful. I called them out the other day at Trail Life. They're not my kids. I don't call anybody's kids out, but it's like when you are actively talking while there's another man praying in your vicinity in the small room, yes, you're going to get called out for that. And they didn't like it, but it's like, so I've talked to Harrison about, no, those kids are knuckleheads. And you may look at, oh, you shouldn't judge. You don't want to be cynical. Like, yeah, I do. I want him to be discerning.
That's your job.
It's my job. And take it up with Solomon in the book of Proverbs, where he's talking to his sons about, avoid these people.
Yeah.
These are idiots. Stay away from the losers. Stay away from the idiots. This is Proverbs come to life. Like, I'm going to tell you, yes, at Trail Life, avoid those kids. And my son is able to look at it.
You think evil company corrupts good habits only applies to 25-year-olds? Correct. Of course not.
Exactly. Like, start at a young age, discerning friends. We're not looking for somebody like that. They're just seeking attention. We don't follow along. My son's making great decisions now. And guess who he has decided to avoid for the most part? Not in a mean way, but in terms of going along with their stupidity when they try to just run outside type of thing. Like, he's not doing it. How did that start? Don't associate with losers. And sometimes you have to call out who the loser is. And that continues all the way through your childhood, or through the childhood into adolescence, and yeah, sometimes into adulthood. I've used the term over and over, the high value people, but there's such a value. Yep. You are a high value friend, a high value person. So when I need something, or when I'm thinking of something, I'll run it by your, you know, obviously my brother Jack, I'll run it by you. High value people help me make high value decisions, help me mature, help me make, you know, the wise counsel, and talking to my dad and talking to others and even your dad and people like that. Like, there's such an importance. So I know I'm sorry.
I knew soapbox. If I put this one on here, Joe would have a goodness. Rant. I
it's
love it.
It's just such a big deal that everybody, this is so underrated, because so many parents are undermined by idiots.
Yeah.
And I use that word in full, with full force. They're idiots. And if you are not protecting your kids and not protecting your sons against these losers, your son may fall away because of that. Because if he's hanging around more from them and having them in the ear, look at Absalom. Absalom could have made great decisions. Or Rehoboam. Sorry, not Absalom. Rehoboam. And he could have made great decisions, and instead he gets the loser friends in his ears, and everything turns south because of that.
The kingdom divides.
The kingdom divides because of his own stupid friends. So, yeah, we're big believers in this one. Of all things on here, there's so many things we've talked about of what to encourage and, you know, what to mandate, what to forbid, what to discourage. This is a big one of, no, you can't forbid, but protect your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry to get on soapbox.
No, it's great. I hope this has been helpful. Again, I just, the idea was sparked by this idea of like, man, if there's immature guys, it's because of their dads. And so with this podcast being the outlet through which we really try to even kind of explore for ourselves, man, how do we raise our kids? I really wanted to talk about this idea of how do you develop your own son's maturity? And it is those little corrections. It's those moments of making him clean up after himself at the kitchen table, of making sure that he knows, yeah, we don't do that, even if your friend does that. So, you know, whatever it may be, develop your son's maturity. And so, yeah, I've enjoyed this show. I know we've gone long, I think, for the third week in a row. We just have so much to say. So but if you have any thoughts, let us know and join the Discord. It's in our link. The link is in the description of the video and of the podcast. And so let us know. If you have any thoughts, any questions, we, as always, appreciate you watching. We appreciate you listening. Yep. And if there's nothing else, this was episode 164. We will be back next week.